John chapter 8, if you remember verse 12, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I have said that there are seven I am statements. Actually, it's 12. But the seven major I am statements that involve seven miracles that give rise to seven discourses. Okay, this is the light of the world discourse. Chapter 8, we saw the harsh language by the Pharisees who rejected Jesus as the light of the world. Okay, religion has rejected Jesus as the light of the world. But there are those who individually receive Jesus as the light of the world. Let's look at one here this morning. And that's why he sets this up in John chapter 8 for John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, and that connects us, they took up stones to stone him. Remember in verse 59 of last chapter? Going through the midst of them, he passed by. And this passing by here is connecting us to chapter 8. So the chapters are connected. Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You don't give Jesus two options. He draws outside the lines. He doesn't play by our rules. Well, God, is it this or this? You know, pay taxes to Caesar or don't. You know, you're always going to get him. You know, should she be stoned or not stoned? You don't give God a script and tell him, okay, read. You can if you want, but it will be very, very frustrating. You think they would have figured that out by now, but these are his disciples, and this is a theological question of the day. They're stroking their beards. This is an interesting question. Now, this man is born blind. Was his parents sin? Is that even a possibility? Yes. Yes, you know that you can get blindness, born blind from like a sexually transmitted disease. Alcohol. You know, drink a lot of alcohol while you're pregnant. You know, bad things can be passed on to the child. We know that. Yes, it's possible. Does God punish children for the sins of their father? No. No. I can show you much scripture about that. There are those who, you know, I'll visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That's a misquote where people use that to think of things like this. Oh, he's born blind. Oh, his mom must have been a horrible sinner. His dad, he's a varmint. He's no good at all. We'll meet his parents. I think they're cowardly, but respectable enough. Who did sin? This man or his parents? Now, how do you sin before you're born? Or is it because of the sins that you're going to commit that you're in the penalty box even before birth? Now, the thought and the theology is, if you care, I don't think you should, is that, let's say you're in vitro here, and you kick mom. You're not supposed to strike your parents. That's worthy of death. And so, strike one, you kicked your mom. Let's say it happens three times. That's it. You're born blind. We've all done that, by the way. And it's not malicious or anything else. Mom usually goes, oh, did you feel that? And then you put your hand on hopefully your wife's stomach, because I know some people invite, and if you're very close, but don't just go, that's way out of bounds, right? But your wife will do that, and you'll put your hand on her hand, and you'll feel that, and you'll say, oh, my goodness, there's a little person in the oven there. That's incredible. And that happens. We've all done that. You know, you get cooped up in there. So, you know, muscles being what they are, you stretch and kick and do things like that. It happens. And we're not all born blind. But this isn't like a theological dilemma of the day. Jesus doesn't see this man as a theological dilemma. He sees him as a ministry, someone who needs help. I'm the helper. I'm not the one who wants to discuss theology right now. Now, they're discussing theology, but the guy's not deaf. He's blind. They're all, you know, hey, what do you think about this? And, yes, we were just talking about this the other day, and I'm wondering, so what do you think? And the guy's like, you know, whatever. You know, I've heard this all my life. And I'm not interested. One, I've never come up with the answer. My parents, they seem nice enough. You go ahead and figure out whatever you got to figure out. But they're not helpful at all. They're not helpful at all. Now, You got to love Jesus. You have to. If you don't, you're not paying attention. He's helpful. And you're going to need to know this at some point in your life, and whatever predicament you've got yourself in, whatever fear or self-loathing or whatever, any kind of depression, or Jesus is helpful. And he can deliver and would deliver and wants to deliver from whatever you're into. Jesus answered, A or B, C, of course, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. That's not the point. In this situation, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I want to show you God, and I want to show you how God is. That's the reason this man is born blind, for this day, for this encounter. Now, I've never met anyone who wasn't born blind. You say, well, what are we, kittens? We got to wait a few weeks for our eyes to open? No, no. Spiritually blind, spiritually non-discerning, spiritually not able to get it. The most often quoted miracle, most often performed miracle in scriptures by Jesus Christ is the opening of blind eyes. Now, there are these things called messianic miracles that the Pharisees came up with. Scripture doesn't say this, but they say, how are we going to know when the Messiah actually shows up? And they have these threefold tests, okay? Cleansing of a leper. Why? Because it never happened. There's two chapters in the book of Leviticus. Okay, this is how, when lepers are cleansed, this is the what we do for them. This is the sacrifice, and this is how we reestablish them in the community. This is how we actually determine if somebody's leper. This is how we put them out. And then if somebody is cured, if they're cleansed from leprosy, this is what happens. And it was never done. It has never been done. In the history of the world, that it never happened. Or you say, well, what about Miriam? Well, that was before that ceremony, that law was given. You said, well, oh, I know some scripture. What about Naaman? Naaman, you mean the Syrian general who went back to Syria? He didn't go see a priest. This was never performed. You see, Jesus is healing lepers, and they're coming to the high priest. Okay, we got a sacrifice we got to do. And they're like, yeah, I know. It's in the, okay. They get their scrolls out, and they're looking. It's never been done. And they're talking among themselves, I'm sure. Joseph, have you ever done this before? I've never done this, you know, and Nicodemus is there and saying, yeah, I know it's in the law somewhere. I was teaching on that just a few weeks ago, but I've never done this sacrifice. And they're all kind of running around looking at each other thinking, what do we do? And there are priests who have been priests their whole life, and they've never performed this. And they say, you know, when the Messiah shows up, if he can cleanse lepers, and then there was another one, it is casting out a demon that is dumb, that can't speak, because they would learn the demon's name and then cast him out in his name. If he didn't speak or couldn't speak, you couldn't get a handle on him to be able to exorcise him. So that was, if you can cast out a spirit that is dumb, that might be the Messiah you're dealing with, right? And then the third one, you say, well, it's raising someone from the dead. No, they understood that, like, somebody could drown and be resuscitated. They understood that somebody could appear dead and then, you know, come out of it. We've all understood near-death experiences, and somebody come and tell us, oh, I saw the other side and a light and this. And no, they had determined that, no, not raising of the dead. But the third one would be somebody who was born blind. Now, they understood if you had blindness happen because of an accident, and then when the swelling went down or the nerves repaired themselves, you could maybe see again. Or if you had a sickness, when the sickness was abated, you could probably see again. But somebody born blind? No. We've never seen somebody who was born blind get sight. Now, if the Messiah could do these one or two or three, and then there's someone said, no, if he's the Messiah, he should be able to do all three. Now, which one of these miracles has Jesus done? And we know all three, okay? And we can go to the scriptures and we can look at the places where Jesus does all these miracles. But they don't want to give him credit. They came. When he started doing miracles, they came. They looked. They observed. They said, And they saw that he had cleansed lepers. And they talked about them among themselves. And finally, they came to the place. By our tests, he's met all the qualifications. And they still didn't like him. And they still went against what they had determined. Okay, this is it. This is why he's born blind. I want to tell you about something about God. And I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, while it is daylight. Light, you know, is the idea, visible. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Not the first time he said that. I am the light of the world. And back when we were in John chapter 1, we saw all that, what that meant. The light came into the world. We saw in John chapter 3, men love darkness rather than light. Light is a big, important thing. Darkness is a big, important thing. They're principles. They're not just the absence of illumination. It is that in a spiritual sense. He's not talking just about blindness, physical blindness. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Anointed, that's a funny word, right? You know, when you're anointed, they pour oil over your head. He's anointing and he's using mud that he made with spit. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. So he sends them to sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. That's the miracle. Isn't that incredible? Now, some people say he, when Jesus put the stuff on his eyes, you know, on his eyes, not in his eyes, right? Then he, right then, is when the miracle happened. But he didn't know it happened until he washed it off, and then he was able to open his eyes. And perhaps, and then the presupposition is so he wasn't able to see Jesus at that time. Again, presupposition, I don't know. Why did he do that to begin with? He doesn't do that anywhere else. He goes out of his way to do things in a strange manner, I would say, and not the same way. Because like when somebody came to us and they were, you know, blind and they want us to pray over them. Okay, who's got spit? Because I've been talking, I'm really dry. Let me get some water here. Oh, you got spit, good. Go get some handful of dirt. And we're not doing that, okay? We will anoint you with oil, even that's optional if you'd like, I'd rather not, but it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And we get that from the book of James, chapter 5. Is any among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and pray over him. You know, and the prayer of faith, it talks about will save the one. And let's keep going here. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, we've been there. It's nothing remarkable of itself. You remember that when the angel stirred up the water at Bethesda. That's different. And by the way, that was, you know, we talked about that in the past. This isn't that. Siloam isn't known for healing or anything else. It's just a pool. And he goes wash in it, and he came seeing. A miraculous, noteworthy miracle. He had never seen anything. And now he sees everything. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. So there's controversy and there's a little bit of, hey, this is the guy who used to be begging. He's now can see. What's going on? Was he pulling a leg pretending he was, you know. When you come to the place where you used to not have sight, and now you have sight, and I'm talking in a spiritual vein, your neighbors will know. Your family will know. It's hard to, you're not going to be doing the things you used to do. If the sun sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's hard to hide. Oh, some people make a good job of it. We do have undercover Christians who will not let anybody know under any circumstances, but people do know. They'll know that you're different from the things that you do, the things that you don't do. No, he's like him. Maybe it's his twin. Well, I don't know. And he said, no, I'm the guy who used to be begging. I'm him. I'm the blind guy. I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? This is a good question. A better question would be who. Not how, who. I mean, you want the methodology? Because you can't copy it. It's not going to work. The who is the important part of this. And he answers well, because he answers the question they don't even ask. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. See, he thinks he's just a man at this point. Later on, he's going to be prophet. Later on, he's going to be Lord, and he's going to worship him. See the progression of the man. That's a good study in and of itself, and you can go through this. First, he's just a man that is called Jesus. He made clay, he anointed my eyes, said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight. What part of that isn't true? Every part of it's true. His message is very good. I think it's accurate. It's what happened. Listen, I'm sitting here, fat, dumb, and happy, minding my own business, begging, trying to make ends meet, and I, all of a sudden, this guy and his retinue comes, and I hear a lot of, you know, stuff going on, and all of a sudden, this guy, I didn't ask for nothing, I'm minding my own business, and he comes, and he makes this spit, puts it on my eyes, thank you very much, says, go wash in Siloam. And by the way, quarter to a half mile away, depending on where they were in the temple. A non-trivial thing. Has he been at the pool of Siloam before? I'm supposing he had. He knew where it was. But now it's like, you know, a quarter of a mile for a blind man, that's a long way. Half a mile is twice as much, right? So he tells him, and he gives him the answer, and he says, now I just want you to understand, your personal testimony is an incredible thing. I mean, it really is. You were there. Well, people can try to, and they will try to denounce. They will try to say, oh, it didn't happen that way at all. Well, give it to me again. You know, where they'll place them on oath and everything else. Listen, I was blind, but now I see. You know, I don't know what to tell you. This guy called Jesus. Listen, isn't that your story? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. I didn't perceive. I didn't understand. I didn't know anything about God. But now I see. What do you think it is? I'm a super intellectual and everyone else is dumb. You are just so bright and everyone else doesn't. It's got nothing to do with that at all. I've said this 1,000 times. It's spiritual illumination given by God. Praise his holy name. And you do well to pray. Now, what are we praying? That people overcome their reticence. They prefer darkness rather than light. You say, who would do that? Oh, indeed. Indeed. Can I tell you story after story after story after story about people who have my last name even? Who indeed? You remember last week, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's seed. We are never in bondage to any man. In other words, you know, hey, here it is. Total 100% freedom. I'm good. Who would say? Who would remain in their blindness? Yeah. Never mind. I got to keep going. Then said they to him, where is he? I don't know. I don't know. He sent me. I just went. I washed. I don't know where he is. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Why? I think they're trying to stay in with the Pharisees, and they're not trying to get out of line any way, shape, or form, lest they be excommunicated. This guy's going to be excommunicated. Spoiler alert. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Jesus, a lot of time, is blamed for not keeping the Sabbath. In other words, sinning. I have a question for you. Did Jesus ever sin? Well, of course not, you say. You'd be absolutely correct. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Yes, he did. Did Jesus keep man's traditions of what the Sabbath should look like? No, he did not. I have come to the place in my life, I am so suspicious of traditions. They are very often scripturally proven false. And I have known many people, Pharisees all, who would rather do the tradition than the truth. I will be with some of them this afternoon, later on in the day. Pray for me. Okay, we got a little family thing, and I don't care. I don't care what your Bible says. I don't care what the truth is. I just care about maintaining my, and this is what they are up against. This is what Jesus is up against. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, okay, good, now we got Pharisees involved. Oh, my goodness. The Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, I washed, and I do see. Now he's given a testimony, and he's truthful, and he's accurate, and it's quite simplistic, because that's all that happened. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day, which is exactly wrong. Religion is often exactly wrong, right? Others said, well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Well, that's a good question. And there was a division among them. Mark this, mark it well. Jesus causes division. Make your play. Make your choice. You're not going to please everyone. If you try to please man, you won't please God. There was division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? You're the one, he opened your eyes. What do you got to say about this? He said he is a prophet. Now you know that. You know Jesus is a prophet. Oh, he's much more. He's much more, but he's at least a prophet. He's the prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18. We've visited that in the past, and I just thought I'd remind us. He's the prophet that Moses prophesied about, that a prophet would come. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Yeah, he's a prophet. Now, that's closer, because he was just a man before. And he's gaining exponentially, seems to me, in wisdom here and in sight. He's getting used to this sight. He's a prophet. He's got to be at least a prophet. The Jews did not believe concerning him. Okay, you're a liar altogether. They didn't believe. It's easier to discredit this man than it is to attribute a miracle like this to Jesus Christ. You're a liar. The Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. Because they're going to get the parents in here. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, may every word be established. Mom and dad can say, he can see. He just likes to, you know, get people's money. And so mom and dad are going to agree on that. We're going to ferret this out because we know Jesus is no good. He's a no account. We know this because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Religious people are the most ridiculous people I know. Let me say that again. Religious people are the most ridiculous people I know. Everyone says, oh, Adam, I heard you're real religious. I know what they're trying to say. They're trying to say, I believe in God. I love Jesus severely. You've never met anyone more anti-religious than me, excepting Jesus Christ. He goes head-to-head with the religious people all the time and makes them look like the ninnies that they are. But let's leave that, and let's keep going. They didn't believe him, so they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. Now, mom and dad, jumping and rejoicing and shouting and praising God, and no. By what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. So they put it back on him. We got nothing to do with this. Don't try to implicate us. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. You guys are swell. If you never get another Father's Day card, you never get another Mother's Day card, I'm good with that. You guys are just, he shall speak for himself. You say, Adam, I think you're harsh on them. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. Don't do anything from fear. It's never the right choice. Even if it's the right choice, you've made it for the wrong reason. We're not fear-based. We're faith-based. We do things that please God because we love God. We're not afraid of consequences as far as, well, this person's going to be upset with me. My mommy's going to be... Listen, if you love mom or dad more than you love me, you're not even worthy of me. Okay? You got to make that choice. He doesn't say if you love husband or wife more than me. It's inferred, but he's not trying to split up households. He's not. Split comes when you receive Jesus Christ. It just does. I know a little bit about this, and I'm talking to a room full of people who know a little bit about this. So we don't have to really go along those lines, but his parents are fear-based, and they're making choices that are fear-based. I don't like them at all. I love this guy. I think this guy's tremendous. I love him. His parents, like, you're nothing. You're just, you're not good people. They feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. If you believe that this is Messiah, we're going to excommunicate you. Excommunicate, big word. Is it a pleasant experience? Having been excommunicated, let me tell you something about that. It's like, it's not pleasant. It's not as scary as it sounds. You just have to make your play. I've lost family. We're never going to be as close as we could have been. So cry for me. No, God's given me brothers and sisters and moms and dads and cousins and nephews and whatever you want to. Brothers and sisters, to be sure. More than I ever have had. I'm so in love with, you have no idea. Is there something lost? I'm not cavalier towards your loss. I'm not insensible to that. I understand that. Trust me, I understand. Is it a heartache all the time? Yeah. We'll hug and we'll cry together. It's horrific. I'm not changing back. I remember, I say this, I don't like to talk about this all the time. I remember coming to a place in my life when I wrote to Suze, because I was in Japan at the time and I got saved, and I wrote her, and she was less than enthusiastic about my conversion. I know, are y'all saying like, Suze Cass was that? Like St. Suze, you can't conceptualize, okay? I got saved first. I mean, I really did. And she was not 100% happy about this. Who's this God freak I married? You remember. I remember like, oh my goodness, I got a letter and it was like, I didn't have it. I wouldn't want to read it to you and embarrass anybody or anything like that, but it wasn't. I remember coming to a place where I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And I remember saying, Lord, if it's you or her, it's you. I don't want that. And it wasn't either or, and they lived happily ever after. Praise God, right? Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him, we don't want to be excommunicated. We don't want to lose our place in the synagogue. We don't want to lose all our business contacts. We don't want to lose all our friends. I understand. It's a big choice, isn't it? You want to be fear-based? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We are not descended from fearful men. Then again called they the man that was blind, said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. In other words, we don't believe your testimony. Now, this is a mild oath they're putting him under, and they're saying, come clean. Give God the praise. It's like when Joshua said to Achan. It reminds us of that. He answered and said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know that. I can't tell you that. But I'll tell you this. One thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see. You guys are off. Let me bring you back to the facts here. I love this man. I can't wait to meet him. He's in heaven. I can't wait to meet him. I'm going to shake his hand. You are bold as butter. You are so, I love you. Just, yep. You're so out there. You're so, you know, I love Jesus, and you're going to have to learn how to deal with it. I don't know he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind, but now I see. Hey, Pharisees, deal with that. Hey, religious folk, deal with that. Let's just talk the facts, because that's a fact, Jack. And he tells them, and he puts it to them so plain. Then said they to him, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? What is this? Old ground they want to go over again? And he answered, he knows it. He answered them, I've told you that already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? This guy's got, I love it. I love it. Listen, Mr. Religion here. I don't want to play your silly games. You're trying to be his disciple too, and he knows that he's going to get this response. Will you also be his disciples? By the way, the answer is you should want to. You should want to have the same attitude as this guy out there. Just let everybody know. When you talk to religious people, all you have to do is just stand to the facts and let them, they'll just, it boils their potatoes. They hate it. So what? Then they revile him and said, "Thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciple." Well, Moses is great. He is. But he's been superseded by the prophet that he said would come. Moses was the lawgiver. Well, where did he get it? From this man here. He wrote it with his finger when he was with Moses on Sinai. This is God in the flesh. Moses was a prophet and a great man and a man. Yeah, we're going for the old. We're not going to make the transition. We know that God spoke unto Moses. That's true. That's true. What the religious people here are saying is true. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Well, that's sad. Because I think this guy born with no sight is already more insightful than these. What are these guys? 30, 40, 50 years old, these Pharisees? They've had sight their whole life, and they have no sight at all. They're still in darkness. They're still groping for the light. They're still in blindness. And we have a guy who's seen all of 2-3 hours, and he gets it. He has more insight than these people who were born with sight. That's you. Hallelujah. That's you. I get it. I got saved. I didn't know. I just wanted fire insurance. I didn't know. I know a lot of stuff now. And I'm not trying to brag. I mean, does that sound arrogant? I hope not. You know a lot of stuff. You didn't know you were going to know all the stuff that you know. Isn't it incredible that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, leads us into all truth? Yeah, we don't know where this fellow's from. Oh my goodness, really? You got to. He already told you, unless you believe that he is who he says he is, you're going to die in your sins. I think you better make a decision. One does. Saul. Nicodemus does. Joseph of Arimathea does. How many others? I don't know. The man answered, we don't know where he's from. The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes." I thought you guys were the know-it-alls. I thought you guys were the leaders. I thought you guys were supposed to be the shepherds that, by the way, that's setting us up for John chapter 10, the good shepherd passage. It's all connected. Anyway, I thought you were the guys who are supposed to know this stuff. I come to you with a question. You don't know, and here I am being able to see. And you don't even know anything about it. You can't even figure it out. Oh, he's up in their grill work now. I love this guy because I don't know what the word is. Chutzpah, that's the word. Moxie, okay? He's got it, right? You're saying, what's chutzpah? Chutzpah is like if you kill your parents and then throw yourself on the mercy of the court because you're an orphan. That's chutzpah, okay? But he's doing it a really good way. He's got moxie. He's got nerve. He's out there for Jesus. Is he arrogant? I don't think so. I think he's just reaching out and trying to shake these guys. Listen, you don't know where he's from, and here I am, and I can see. How about it, guys? Now listen to this. I'm talking about moxie now. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man is a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. You tell me he's a sinner. I'm thinking, well, how does that work? God's blessing sinners now? God's blessing sinful activity? I'm the Son of God, come in the flesh. And God says, well, I just want to heal this blind man anyway, so I'll use this lying, demon-possessed crazy man out there. Right? We know that can't be happening. So he connects dots in a way that cannot be. This is the conundrum. This is what the Pharisees, and this is what, when you are against Jesus Christ, this is what you find yourself in. You've penned yourself in every direction. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Messianic miracle, remember? It's never been done. And here, this guy is doing what's never been done before. And you guys don't know anything about him, huh? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That is a great saying, and it's accurate, and it's true, and the guy gets it. Again, exhibiting more insight than the religious leaders who supposedly have their sight. Now, they were born blind, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the day. They were born blind, like you were born blind, like I was born blind. No ability to discern, no ability to see. Being blind isn't a horrible thing. Dying that way is, and verse 41 will tell us that, if you want to glance down there, but we'll get there soon enough. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He certainly couldn't do all the miracles that he's doing if God wasn't with him. Didn't Nicodemus say that? We know you're sent from God. No one can do the miracles that you're doing except God be with him. Is he trying to co-opt Jesus, get him to join the Pharisees? Hey, you got to stop calling us out. You got to stop cleansing the temple. You got to stop calling us whitewashed tombs. You got to knock that off right now, right? What's going on there? But they already said, we know you come from God. No one can do the miracles you do except God be with him. And so this man is standing on their last nerve and on a sore spot, to be sure. Do they know that Jesus is sent from God? Of course they do. Of course they do. But Jesus, the Messiah, is supposed to come and say, you got it all right. You guys have been doing awesome, awesome. And he's supposed to commend them on their religiosity, and Jesus will have none of that. You got to meet him where he is, not where you want him to be. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Well, somebody's got to teach you. You're so clueless, and it's so obvious to all of us, because why is it so obvious to all of us? Because we have sight. We have the sight. We understand what's going on with them because we used to be of them. Somebody's got to. They cast him out doesn't mean they kicked him out of their sight. Meeting over. Get out of here. No, he's excommunicated. I'd rather be excommunicated with Jesus. I've made my choice. Is it sad? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. There are people with my last name that have going to be separated from eternally at this point, and I hope they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ desperately. I'd trade my salvation for theirs, to be sure. Yeah, it's sad. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, this is the payout, okay? Jesus heard they cast him out. When he had found them, he said to them, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Is this guy saved? His eyes were open. He's understanding some stuff. First, he thinks that Jesus is a man. Now he's a prophet. Now we know that he's of God in verse 33. Jesus, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. Jesus always goes third person when he's discussing his deity. It's me, ba-ba-da-da. He doesn't do like that. Why? I think he's just, because it sounds really, I don't know, arrogant, and he's not. He's humble. We have a humble God. How ridiculous is that? And awesome all at once. Yeah, you're talking with him, he's saying. Him, that guy, you know what I mean? It is he that talketh with thee. You've seen him. You're seeing him right now, is the idea. Jesus is saying, yeah, it's me. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Now, worship is intrinsic to understanding who God is. I mean, once you understand who the Lord is, worship is just a matter of, what is worship? Well, we sing songs and we raise our hands and we, no. I mean, yeah, that's one manifestation. He ascribes worth to him. That's what worship means, to ascribe worth. Worthy of all our praise, worthy of, and that's how we know that, that's one of the major reasons we how we know that we've arrived, we're born again, we're in the fold. Is this man saved at this time? Oh, yeah. Now, when exactly did the transformation happen? It happens in steps like it happens in your life. You're presented with the gospel. You think about it. It ruminates. It kind of resonates. You spit it up. You chew it again. You swallow it back down. And it takes usually about 7 times is what we're told. People hearing the gospel, they finally believe. Don't give up. Somebody rejected you on first time. Don't give up. Like I say, the average is like 7 times. That's average. You might be one of these hard cases. It takes 20, 30, 40. I don't know why. I believe. Lord, I believe. Now he's his Lord, and he's the object of his worship. See, this man's sight has grown exponentially. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see, they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Now, where of those who see not, and we come to the place of sight? That's what Jesus does in our life. Praise his holy name. I know what it was to be blind. I know what it was to be religious. I know what it was to be a Pharisee. I see myself in the blind man. I wish I had the temerity he has and the nerve that he has sometimes. I'm getting more and more of it. You know why? Because I don't care. I get to play. I don't care. Here's what you need to know. I can be bold here. People expect me to say what's true. On the job, in the family, you know, among peers, it's harder sometimes. But I'm getting more and more like that. But I can see myself in him, but I can also see myself in the Pharisees. Hopefully not today, but I came from that stock. I surely was a religious person, and I judged everyone because you weren't as religious as me. Oh, I've come to this world that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Now they're saying, we're not blind, right? Because it demands a no answer the way they ask it. They don't perceive that they're the blind ones. Religious people never do. It's a miracle when God lets you know that. It's a miracle of God. I don't know how else to say it. Praise his holy name. Now, it's a miracle that he wants to perform in all of us, to be sure. Okay? God's no respecter of persons. He loves me. You, not so much. No, God so loved the whole world, he gave his only begotten son. The salvation that God gives is available to anyone who wants it. Okay? Anyone can be made seeing. We're not the blind ones. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind physically, like the blind man, you should have no sin. You'd be fine. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. Do they see? They're casting out of the synagogue people who profess that the Christ is the Christ. I mean, how more blatant do you want it? Did Jesus accurately put his finger on what was ailing them? Yes, he did. Obviously so. No, we've got it all together. We know Moses and we're children of Abraham. We are the elite. We have got it all. He's saying, oh, you're so blind. We come to that place. Listen, you come up and pray with me afterwards if you want. Or in the privacy of your car driving or in your prayer closet or when you get alone, anywhere, anytime. This is so easy. Lord, like the blind man, yeah, you're the Son of God. And worship him. Save me. whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to be free. Or we can put up the pretense, I know it, I'm arrived, I'm too sexy for my shirt, I'm too cool for school, I just know everything, and I'm just happy to be right where I'm at, and don't, I'm good. Hey, you want to be free? I'm good. I don't know. Desperation, like me, I got in a desperate place, will make one call out to God. He uses that sometimes. He'd rather bless you into the kingdom, but he's not above you. He's not above using desperation to make you call out to him if that's what it takes. Let's stand and let's pray. I shouldn't end it on he wants to save us. Just let's say it this way. He wants to save us. He loves us, okay? I'm just saying, okay.